Today, let's take a look at Song of Songs. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read it together. O my dove in the clefts of the rock and the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Here the Lord spoke to the bride, and it actually is an easy thing for the Lord to hear the bride's voice. But the term here says that, let me hear from the clefts of the rock. And you know the clefts of the rock, it's a hole inside of a solid rock. And it actually means that the Lord wanting to see the bride being broken by the cross. And remember in chapter 1, verse 9, it talked about the bride is like a mare. The bride is like a steed filled with natural strength. And the bride's cheeks is beautiful. And we will make ornaments of gold studded with silver. But you see that in a natural man, the person has many natural talents and abilities. And the person's will is strong as well. Many Christians have many strong points or beautiful points in terms of the natural man. And even their fervency could be out of the natural self. And they're determined to serve the Lord, to love the Lord out of their natural strength. I can fast, I can do night watch. They're very strong in the natural person. But it says that we will make you ornaments of gold studded with silver. It's talking about God wanting to do a redemptive work inside of the bride. Now here, Jesus is saying, let me see you being broken, being processed by the cross. Let's look at verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6, it says, What is that coming up from the wilderness? Like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the fragrant powders of the merchant. That it talks about myrrh, which represents death, frankincense, and when it being burned in fire, it produces a fragrance. So you go through the trial, you go through death, it produces fragrance. Here it's talking about the bride carrying the fragrance of her sacrifice. Verse 14 talks about the same thing. It talks about she's a garden enclosed, and you see that it says that with all trees of frankincense and myrrh. In God's eyes, the beauty of a Christian is that the person has gone through death, gone through the process of the cross. The Christian must go through the mountain of myrrh, the frankincense hill. He has to go through the brokenness, the process, the trials of the cross. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was the pattern, the model that went through all these trials on earth. He didn't come as a royal and a powerful king. However, he came as a humble slave, demonstrating full submission, even to the point of death. A brother has a great relationship with the Lord, constantly drawing near to the Lord, spends lots of time praying. One time the Lord spoke to him. The Lord opened his eyes to help him to see that in every aspect of viewing the cross are filled with blood. And you could see that the crown of thorns piercing through the head of Christ. And when you look from a different angle, you begin to see the spear piercing through the side of Jesus. And if you look from the backside, and you could see Christ's back filled with stripes. And from the front, then you begin to see the nail-pierced hands and feet of Christ. And the blood flowing out from the hands and feet. Every aspect of the cross are filled with blood. And when the blood flows down, it cleanses all of our sins. And it leads us from weakness into deliverance. The blood can heal all our diseases. The blood delivers us, saves us from the power of sin. So when Christ is nailed on the cross, we are set free from the bondage of sin. And out of this blood, a new breed has been born. That is Christians. And this people can only be born through the blood of Jesus. And this people are no longer the old Adam born out of sin in bondage to weaknesses and sins, but they have the DNA of the sacrificial life and a victorious life of Christ. This is what the cross has accomplished. It's so wonderful. It may be a failure in the eyes of the world, but Jesus says it's finished. All the great works of salvation is accomplished through the death of cross. When this brother saw this vision, he was mesmerized by the cross. For 1 year, he couldn't speak on any other subject but on the beauty of the cross. You know, we were singing the song, "The cross is our glory." I don't know when you're singing if you felt like it just lyrics. You don't have feelings attached to it. Do you truly understand that this cross is for you? The cross is to deliver us from poverty, from bondages, from the weak and broken condition so that we can partake of his victory. And this brother says that he was mesmerized by the cross, and he has this passion wanting to declare the cross to everybody. What is the life that we should live today? How is the life that we should live today knowing what Christ has done? And Paul says, "I do not boast in anything else but on the cross and his crucifixion." Paul says that I couldn't boast in anything else except for Jesus Christ and his cross. Paul deeply understood the cross. He was the chief among sinners. However, the abundant love of Christ was upon him, and his grace was abundant in his life. Through the cross, he had overcome all enemies, and he has teared down the dividing walls through the death of his son that we can be reconciled to the Father, to have a deep, intimate relationship with God. That's why Paul solely boast upon the cross. Today in the church, this is not a popular message. It's contrary to Paul's confession, because all you need is Jesus Christ and the cross. Then you'll understand the power of salvation. You no longer need to be living in weakness, because on that cross is power to set you free. Jesus already bore your sickness and diseases. Let's look at another passage, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read it together. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul says that I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Beloved, this is the life that we ought to live daily. When we accept Christ to our heart, all the weaknesses and sins have been crucified with him on the cross. And today is Christ who lived through us. This is our daily life. This should be our daily experience. This is our daily confession. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you have more awakening in terms of this truth, you'll realize you'll have more strength in your daily walk. You know, a few weeks ago, I've got affected by a flu, some infections in my stomach, and I lifted up both my foot to have better circulation. And Tuesday when I woke up, I was in such pain. I said, "Lord, why am I experiencing such pain even though you already healed me?" I talked to the Lord all the way till 4 p.m. And I was feeling a lot of pain and swollenness in my stomach, and I just commanding that circulation to go down, and I fell asleep. After an hour, I woke, and then I was better. Over the next few days, every time I try to eat, like I feel some pain. It's like a weakness, infirmity in my body. But these couple days, as I'm preparing for this message, and the Lord began to unveil the cross more and more, and I started to think differently. I don't need to carry this weakness. I don't need to confess that my stomach is weak. I said, "All these weaknesses that's been nailed to the cross with you, you are my strength. You will strengthen my stomach." And today, all of a sudden, I feel completely healed. And there was no feeling of sickness or weakness inside of my body. We have to understand that we've been nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. Today is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He loved me and gave himself for me. He loves me so much to die on the cross for me. No matter what my condition is, like, he loves me. All I need to do is to believe. All I need to do is to live in his faith. And the other translation says that I live by the faith of the Son of God, because the Son lives on the inside of me. Therefore, I can live in his faith. I live by believing in the Son, and he lives in me through his faith. He loves me, gave himself for me. There's nobody can take this love away from me. We can boast in his love, brothers and sisters, that Christ lives on the inside of us. All my weaknesses have been nailed to the cross. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 14. Let's read it together. "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." When a person truly understands what Jesus has done on the cross, then you will not boast in anything else but upon Jesus and his cross. In any condition, even when you're being disowned, all facing all kinds of darkness, you look at the cross, you remember that he loves you. He died for us. And it says that the world has been crucified to me, which means that the world is dead to you. And to the world, I am dead to the world, because it no longer is I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's a Jewish person from Chicago, and he owns one of the biggest businesses in town. And his dad is the owner of the biggest business in one of the biggest businesses in Chicago. And so this Jewish person is born in this very rich family. And one time they met a customer, and he asked this customer, "Why do you look so happy and joyful? Are you, what's happening to you? Are you born into this happiness?" And he says, "No, of course not." And he says, "Because I am born again. And before this rebirth, I am not this joyful." And he says, "Because I am a child of God. I am a Christian. Therefore, I'm very happy." And this Jewish person was so drawn by the joy and happiness of this customer. And one time he was walking towards the store, and a voice spoke to this Jewish person. This is that, "I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Unless through me, no one can come to the Father." And then he nailed on the street, and he says, "I'm willing to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Lead me to the Father, Lord." He accepted Christ, and he started to preach to his wife, preached to his family members. His wife disowned him. His siblings didn't want to talk to him. And for many of the Jewish family, if you believed in Jesus, the family most likely would disown you. And his brothers told him, "If you believe in Christ, you will not have any share of the inheritance." And so they think, "Okay, maybe we'll send you away to vacation for a while. Maybe when you come back, you'll change your mind." But this brother was so on fire for the Lord, and he didn't want to accept the offer. And so someone took him to a mental hospital. They locked him up to an asylum, to a very serious asylum. And the doctor locked him up with 29 other mental ill people. And he and this brother was being tortured tremendously. He was about to go crazy. And so he nailed in a corner and cried out to the Lord. So he prayed and prayed and prayed. And he was in such a state of prayer, he completely forgot where he's at. And then he saw these visions of Jesus being nailed on Calvary. And Jesus began to reveal himself to him. Jesus told him, "Is it only me carrying the cross? Is it only me carrying the cross? Could the worldly people only watch and not carry the cross with me?" And when he saw Jesus on that lonely cross, his heart melted. And he replied to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I am willing to carry the cross with you. I don't want you to carry by yourself. I'm willing to be with you." And then he completely fell in love with Christ. And from that moment on, he began to pray for these 29 mentally ill people, patient. And after a couple days, there are other Christians came to rescue him, and also also sue the mental the doctor, because they said, "Why would you lock this Christian in the hospital?" And the doctor says, "Oh, because he's hearing voices." And they said, "Well, Paul hear the voice of God. How could you do that upon this America's soil? This is such a shame for the United States." And the judge told this Jewish person, says, "Oh, go ahead and write down the names of those who plot this against you, then we'll judge them." And this Jewish person says, "One thing I would do is to pray for them." And he knows who set up this whole plot against him was actually his brothers. And then so he went and tried to reconciled to his brothers and his wife, but nobody wants to respond to him. So he rented a small house, and he evangelized the people around. After a year, his wife brought his children to see him. And the wife patiently heard his preachings, and the wife became a Christian. And they said, I'm willing to live with you and go and find a job. And this Jewish person says, no, I will not find a job. My purpose is to live for the Lord and preach the gospel. And the wife says, I'm already a believer. How could you do this to me? That's too hard to live with you. And this Jewish person couldn't do anything. And so he just sent them away, and he brought them to this train station. And his heart was so painful because he loves his children. He loves his wife so deeply. However, he couldn't live with them. He knows that he has to obey God. And when that train had departed, and it's like heaven had just opened up, and the presence of God filled him with such delight and joy. So he danced all the way to home, and he continued to evangelize, continued to preach the gospel. After 3 years, the Lord revealed the cross to his wife as well. And the wife came back again. And the wife says that I used to be a lukewarm Christian, but now I understood the cross. I know what you're saying is correct. I'm willing to live this lifestyle with you. And his wife became his greatest helper. And so they lived by faith. And during his preaching, Reese Howell heard his testimony, and he was surprised that a Jewish person understood the cross and are so in love with the cross. And that vision of the cross also became the vision of Reese Howell. It became his only passion. Since that moment, the world and all its glory has become but rubbish to him. The cross of Jesus Christ has become his glory. Just that one encounter with this Jewish person, the Lord has revealed his cross to him. This is what Paul is talking about. I will not boast in anything else but on the Lord Jesus Christ and upon his cross. The power that can be released through this message is magnificent. It can totally transform the person, that the life of God can be displayed. You know, even you could be a Christian, but you want to continue to make more money until the cross manifests in yourself, in your life. This is such a timely message for the Christians today. We need to understand the cross. Let our love not be superficial. Let us not just ask God for more things and more power, more blessings. Because of your blessings, therefore I love you, I praise you. Without the blessings, there's nothing to praise God for. How much do we need the Lord to reveal his cross to us today so that we could truly fall in love with God? Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 23 to 25, and I'll read it. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." The central revelation of God is Christ being nailed to the cross. We must have a deeper understanding of the cross. The cross to Christ is glory. It's the time for Jesus to receive glory from the Father. That's why there's a hymn that was written when Pastor Pearl Young led us to sing this song, this hymn about the cross. Is not a sad song to be crucified with Christ, but it's a glorious song, and we sing it with a fast beat, lifting up our heads. That's what Jesus says. Unless you die like a weed, like a seed, grain falls into the earth, you can never bear more fruit. When Jesus died and he bare so many much fruit throughout all generations, today the same principle remains. If you hold on to your life today, then you will lose it. If you're unwilling to carry the cross, unwilling to be broken, continue to care about your face, what you look like before men, to keep yourself honorable and nice before people, and you still remain to be that one grain, and nothing you do can last to eternity. The only way is to be broken. Many times we can serve God with such fervency, but the Lord only desire you to be broken first. You know, I shared this testimony about this missionary. He went to Japan, and she was filled with such passion to serve the Lord. But after a few years, she realized The Lord was using this missionary trip to reveal to herself how strong her natural self is. And she had Japanese servants at the time, and this maid always cleaned the house in a different way. And even after she tried to correct her, but the Lord was showing her that that's exactly what she's like. Everything that she does was opposite of what she wants. One time, this missionary went with another sister to visit somebody, and it was this sister's friend. So the sister went in and talked with this other person while the missionary was waiting outside for a total of 2 hours. And this missionary was so offended and so angry. And by the time when the sister came out, and the Lord was just convicting her how impatient she was. And another time, she was trying to write down something, and every time she would grab a pen, the pen will snap, a pen will be broken. So one after another, and she was so frustrated, she threw the whole bag to the ground. And the Lord said, look what you're doing. You're like a little kid being so angry. And how are you going to glorify me with this attitude? And the Lord said, why don't you ask the kids around you to come around you to pray for you, to ask them to pray for your anger problem. And so she humbled herself and asked the kids to come around to pray for her. Look, your teacher has broken so many pencils and threw her back on the ground. And every time some of her old self will show up, the Lord will quickly tell her to nail it to the cross and quickly repent to people, repent to the people that she's serving. She didn't blame the children. She didn't blame other people. Say it's your problem, but she actually humbled herself. And actually, on a side note, many of us, we are convicted by the Lord, but even in our repentance, we show forth the stinkiness of the old self. We didn't truly want to repent before men. But God wants a broken version of your old self. We don't need to say, oh, it's because of you causing me to sin. You need to let your old self to be broken, to be nailed to that cross. With bad anger, with your impatience, all that traits needs to go on the cross. You don't need to hide yourself, hide your attitude, and so give all kinds of explanations and reasons to protect your old self. And after she'd done that for a while, after being in Japan for a couple of years, she said that the Lord had transformed her to be such a free person. And her relationship with her maid has changed as well. And she give the maid liberty to do whatever she will with her cleaning methods. Many times we are very willful. We are filled with a very strict way of doing things. We want people around us to follow our methods. Parents are the same. You know, if the mom is some wives are actually obsessed with cleanliness. And every time their husband or children will walk through some paths, they'll take a mop and clean the floor like crazy. And you may think, oh, look at you guys. You never clean. You just creating chaos. But, you know, even till today, her children aren't thankful for the mom. A family cannot come to unity is because your old self is too strong. You know, a couple could serve so much in the church, but in your home, it's chaotic. It's a battlefield. Why? Because you're unwilling to let go of your opinion. You know, you don't really have to cling things like that. You don't really have to do things in your certain method. And the more you looked at other people, your child, the more you look at the way he does things, the more angry you get. This older woman and had nurtured a few sons, and all of them are PhDs. And she has much love to other people. And I always thought, oh, if I were her in-law, oh, she's so kind and caring. However, the reality is that her in-laws are going insane and crazy. Why? Because she was widowed very early on. And by herself, she nurtured the three sons. And even though all of them have their own families now, and then she constantly was arranging the finance when the elder's son will make money and she'll ask for money to give the younger kids to study. And even her grandsons, she's continually to intervene and give suggestions and control. And I realized that when we're young, we haven't learned this lesson to let go of our opinions and have a flexible heart, letting go of your opinions, submitting to others. Then when you get older, your kids don't want to stay with you. And you realize that many elderly people, they're good Christians, they have Bible knowledge, but their opinions are too strong. What is the cross? The cross is submission. We sing, oh, on the path of the cross, it's a sacrificial path. You could sing the songs. You could obey and pray. You could obey and sing. Bring into your personal lives and your daily lives. It truly is obedience. You humble yourself. Many times, the good aspect of your old self, it's harder to be discovered. And because out of your goodwill, you enforce that on other people. Oh, this is good. This is nutritious. And you just keep on feeding and forcing your children to eat. He's out of a goodwill. Other people, they just can't eat that much. Oh, you really want the other person to wear certain clothes because it looks good. Out of the goodwill, but you're very forceful. And your goodwill actually brings up great pressure to other people. It doesn't bring freedom. And our love to our children are the same. We should not become a bondage to them. We want our children to learn obedience upon the principles of God. And the younger kids, you want them to obey. However, if they have grown up, they're growing up, then you want to respect them as well. If you're willing to let God to break your will, break your old self, then the presence of God will increase in your home. And don't hold on to your face. And one sister told me that when she was in an after school class, she really loved the teacher. But this teacher is unsaved. And the sister was in love with this unsaved teacher. And she would go early to the after school class and she kept praying, oh Lord, please help me to see the negative parts about this person. Help me to see the truth about this person. You know, especially a lot of high school girls, they will fall in love to some teachers. So this sister just kept on praying that God would open her eyes. You know, sometimes your feelings are dominating your whole being, but she's willing to humble herself and ask God to break in. And then suddenly the Lord opened his eyes and see that this teacher is actually into witchcraft. And she realized, oh my gosh, that this person is into witchcraft. So she was able to let go of her love and be awakened from her dream. Many times you like a person, you want to draw near to that person. No wonder you kept sinking into sin. What you need to do is to go the opposite way, to pull yourself out, to awaken yourself out from that situation. If you can't adjust your affection, you can cry out to God. You don't want to walk on the edge of the cliff. You might fall and die. Don't give room for the flesh to your tendencies. What is the cross? This is what the cross is about. Go the opposite tendencies, the opposite desire many times. And there's another hymn that says, this author says, Lord, show me the secret of being in your presence all the time, to walk with you constantly. Then the Lord answered, you want to be willing to do the little things. Be willing to be faithful in the bitter works. Nobody liked bitter works. Nobody liked the tedious little details of ministry. The things that people despise, the people that people don't want to do. And God says, if you are willing to do that, then I will be with you. I will reveal my presence to you. And then you realize the people who are willing to sacrifice their times, their energy to do these things, God is with them. I remember my church back in Taiwan, the 60s and 70s mamas, they always fight to clean the bathroom. Why? Because they tasted the presence of God when they're cleaning the bathroom, doing these bitter works, doing these tedious details. God loved to be with people like that. Our tendency is to be comfortable, choosing comfortable tasks. Then it's hard for you to receive the presence of God. And you could shout, you could kneel at the altar, but if you're unwilling to die to your flesh. You could say, God, I want more of you, more of you. And all that you're pursuing is only God's grace. It's gifts to you. But the true life of Christ is through the cross. It's how much you've sacrificed, how much you have given, how much you have been taken. Then the life of God will flow through you. You know why? Because our Lord is like this. This is our God. If you follow his footstep, follow his model, he will dwell inside of you because your heart will be in sync with his heart. If you know that you're a selfish person, and many times you try to pick the best seat, the biggest room, how do you come out of this bondage? Go the opposite direction. Find the smallest seat. Find the most uncomfortable seat. Then the Lord will set you free from selfishness. And the Lord will begin to bless you with his presence. So stop taking care of yourself too well. God says, I want to see the broken version of you. God will raise up circumstances to break you. And even through the people that are most intimate to you. You know, some people say, oh, I don't like my wife, I will find another one. I don't like my husband, I'll find another one. If you do that, you'll never be broken by God. You could change. If the Lord has not given you up, he will continue to raise up circumstances, situations to break you. You want to receive the true life of God. If you don't die, you will not bear fruit. You will not bear the life of God. Let's look up Book of Esther, chapter 5, verse 3. You understand that Queen Esther has been in the palace for 5 years. And the king has never said anything good to the Esther until Esther is willing to bear the cross. Why? Because she has not been called to the palace for 30 days. And it was during then and Mordecai was requesting Esther to go and to reveal who she is and to reveal her lowly background of being a Jewish person. Think about if this is your position and if you're not being favored in your company, if you go to see your boss, you might die. You might lose your job. Esther says, if I would see the king right now, I would die. I might die. Then you said, even to reveal the secret identity, isn't my comfortable life in the palace enough? Why am I risking all these things? Are you willing to carry the cross like Queen Esther? However, you see, when Esther is willing to die, the king said to her, what is your request? It shall be given to you, even to the half of my kingdom. Look at chapter 9, verse 12. The king said to Queen Esther, in Susa, the citadel, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men, and also the 10 sons of Haman. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your wish? It shall be granted to you. And what further is your request? It shall be fulfilled. Think about this. Within 5 years, the king has not said anything good to Esther. But now she's willing to risk it all to see the king. Then the king began to favor Esther. And more than that, whatever you ask for, whatever further request you have, it shall be fulfilled. And I understood that. This is the same for every Christian. When we're willing to carry the cross, when we're willing to be broken by God, the prayer request is so powerful. All of heaven is waiting for such prayer. One request is not enough. Two requests, three requests. God is ready to answer your prayers. A person that is being broken by the cross will carry such authority and power in prayer. You can pray all you want, but without the sacrificial life, it will not be answered. Prayer must accompany with sacrifice and death. Financial sacrifice is one of the big things. Many people can pray, but they're unwilling to give financially, not just finance. And if your old self has not been broken by God and not willing to let go of things, then your prayer is lacking of strength. I know this sister from Taiwan, as a very sensitive person, many times whatever people are saying, they could internalized it and feeling that people are hurting her. And other people gave her a nickname, calling her a glass vessel, because you might just break this glass with your words. And that's because she protected herself for so long. And you're unwillingly to be criticized, unwillingly to give your time to people, to give your caring to others, your love to people. And everything has to be well calculated and let you in a very nice environment, people caring you and in a best seat in church, then you're willing to give a little bit. And you could pray all you want, but your power doesn't wait much. You could have a little bit presence of God, but God does not give you the fullness. God's looking for people he can fill, empty vessels. If you're willing to pour out yourself more and more, empty yourself more and more, then God will fill you more. And pursuing God is about emptying yourself out, pouring yourself out more and more. Then God will pour into you. Another brother came in our midst, and he has a habit of he would never eat leftovers meal. Every time before he eats, he would ask, is this leftover from yesterday? And when it comes to his sleeping pattern, he cannot be disturbed and he can never sleep late. And right after the altar call, he will quickly go back to home and sleep. And he has all these rules about how to live. My private life cannot be disturbed. My lifestyles cannot be changed. And even though his praise is so loud and strong, people can see. However, little by little, hearing the sermons being preached, and he started to be transformed, being changed. And another thing is he has very a strong face that he couldn't be criticized by people. And two sisters pray and went to him and spoke some truth to him. And if the church staff asked him to pick up someone from the airport, and he would always say, why would you pick me? Why? You could pick someone else. And if other people say something about him, and he would be very mad. Deep inside, he know that other people is right. But he just couldn't let go of his face. And he would always find excuses to protect himself. And a winter conference, in the first session, I spoke about repentance. And he was the first one came to the altar call to repent. And he repented his love of self, love of his face, his pride, and just loudly repent before the Lord. And the Lord just filled him up instantly. After a year, many times we want the Lord to fill us up, want the Lord to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, but you have to be empty out first. If your heart are filled with self-esteem, yourself, opinions, filled with dirty water on the inside, he cannot fill you with fresh water. So you need to pour out first. See, Jesus came to earth. He continually poured out himself. He poured out his glory. He poured out his strength and power to be such a humble man. And he came in the manger. He let go of his honor, his esteem. And till a point, he was nailed to the cross with sinners. He died in the lowest place of the cross. He continued to pour out and pour out. Therefore, the Lord has exalted him above all. This is the Lord that you're pursuing. So do you need to pour out yourself? Of course. Ask the Lord, what is the self that's opposing you, Lord? Opposing the infilling of the Spirit. You know, the cross works in mysterious ways. Many times he will raise up difficult circumstances, situations. So to humble yourself, what we need to do is to accept God's ways. And there's a blind sister that wrote this psalm, this hymn, and she said that the reason why the Lord wants her to be blind was because that she could see in different aspects to show the world the beauty of God, and she could actually be a teacher to the world, and that is the path of the cross. The cross, just like this blind person, is able to show us what the people with eyes, with sight, cannot see. The best way for us to humble ourselves is to thank God for every circumstances, every situations, every chance to be humbled. Just like that missionary to Japan, whenever the Lord convicts her, she quickly just repents. She quickly just humble herself. Even though she thought she will be poor, she will be serving God in a mighty way, yet the Lord was breaking her and humbling her. God knows how to raise up different circumstances to break you and to mold you into the image of Christ. Sometimes in the meeting, God is prompting you to say one word, to pray one word, to get up and dance and stop protecting your image. Let the Lord break you and to dance and to praise. And in difficult situations, quickly respond to the Lord by thanksgiving. Receive his discipline. And also not pay attention to yourself. Stop defending your faith, defending yourself. Your self-esteem, your faith is the biggest hindrance for the Lord to work inside of you. You see, our Lord is despised, trampled down by the world. So we need to learn from that example. If you're willing to go the opposite direction from your natural self, then you'll realize you'll walk into the place of freedom more and more. And when you're being broken time and time again, the King would say to you, up to half of my kingdom, I'm willing to give to you. Your prayer life, your prayer will be answered. Your prayer will be so mighty and powerful. Pay attention to your prayer requests. Are they being answered? Because it could come up to breaking of yourself to the Lord. Let's all sing this song, that forever we will receive victory through the cross. The cross can defeat all enemies. The cross is my life. The cross is my authority. The cross will turn all weaknesses, all despair, into strength, into victory. A person that is broken by the cross is the most joyful person in the world.